Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Tonight, we are trying to get more answers about the incident at Crabtree Valley Mall. We first reported as breaking news last night. Police tell us a chaotic situation in the mall resulted in one man accidentally shooting himself. His injuries are not life-threatening. However, we still have several questions for investigators and mall representatives. WRAL's Leslie Moreno is live outside Crabtree Valley Mall with more. And Leslie, it looks like officers were back out there this afternoon.
Well, Julian, we're still working to learn more about who that man is and why he had a gun inside the mall in the first place. We were out here. There was quite a large police presence. We were able to get some video for you. Like I mentioned, Raleigh police out here, EMS back out at the mall. They were responding to a disturbance here. No injuries reported, but that was what we were dealing with here just about 5 minutes ago, not even 24 hours after yesterday's incident. But going back to yesterday, there was a loud noise of some sort inside the mall that sent people running for cover. During that chaos, police say a man carrying a concealed weapon accidentally shot himself. How exactly that happened is unclear. We do know he was rushed to the hospital by EMS with non-life-threatening injuries, and there were no other injuries reported. We did check with the mall's website, which clearly states weapons of any type in view or otherwise are not permitted on Crabtree Valley Mall property. And according to the North Carolina Department of Justice website, in North Carolina, concealed handguns may not be carried in any place of business that has posted a sign banning concealed weapons on its premises. That means even with a concealed carry permit, it could be a crime to be on mall property with a gun. However, there are exceptions for police officers and military service members. We spoke with a mom who was celebrating, a man who was celebrating his birthday yesterday at one of the restaurants inside the mall. He says he was there when the chaos erupted. He says the incident doesn't deter him from coming to the mall, but he does believe more safety precautions should be put in place.
Danger is everywhere. It doesn't have to be in the mall. It can be at the gas station. One of the things I think we ought to try to do is try to police huge areas like the mall. Instead of just having security, have like a officer inside the facility to like regulate guns coming into our place of business.
And as you can see there, we do have signs here at the mall clearly stating that firearms are not permitted on the property. We've reached out to mall representatives several times today. We've also reached out to Raleigh police to get an update on their investigation. We're still also waiting to hear back from police about this incident here that just wrapped up. So we'll have more details for you tonight, hopefully at 10 and 11. Julian.
Leslie Moreno reporting live for us at Crabtree Valley Mall tonight. Thank you. New tonight, a Raleigh police officer was hit by a vehicle and assaulted on Wake Forest Road. 33-year-old Christopher Pierce now faces multiple charges. This morning, officers approached two people, including Pierce, getting into a vehicle and saw a gun inside. They then tried to take Pierce into custody. The assault occurred and Pierce then took off in the vehicle. The other person left on foot. From there, an officer was hit by the vehicle, sustaining minor injuries, and Pierce was arrested a short time later after a brief vehicle chase. As the weekend wraps up, we could be in for some spotty showers to start the week. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with more. Anthony.
Julian, these showers, just like you said, very spotty in nature here as we head into our Monday. But I want to make you aware because it could be kind of some inconvenient timing tomorrow. Let's go over here exactly what we're expecting as far as the percentage wise. Most of us only about a 20 to 30% chance during the day, but we have a warm front coming through in the morning and then a cold front in the evening. So there's kind of going to be two systems in play here that could bring us those chances of showers. 50% chance there after about 7 o'clock. That's ahead of the cold front, and that's when I think we could see some better chances of showers here tomorrow afternoon. Here is during the day, very hit or miss coverage during the day that you see around there pushing through. There's 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. That's when the cold front will cross, especially for our northern areas. That's going to be the best chance of some of these light showers. And then by 11 o'clock tomorrow evening, it should be moving out. Julian, this is not our only system we're tracking for this week. It could get fairly unsettled here Thursday into Friday. We'll show you when we could even see some thunderstorms in the forecast here coming up in a few minutes.
Also, it is not over.
No, there's more.
All right, thanks, Anthony. New tonight, a laboratory leak in China is the most likely cause of the COVID-19 outbreak. That's according to officials with the Department of Energy. The revision was made after new intelligence surfaced indicating a lab leak in Wuhan was probably the cause of the pandemic. One person is dead from an early morning shooting in Rocky Mount. Police say two people were shot at a Shell Food Mart on West Raleigh Boulevard around 2:30 in the morning. A man died at the scene. The other victim, identified as Zakia Jones, was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Now, this remains an ongoing investigation. Another shooting to report in Rocky Mount, this one injuring an 11-year-old. The boy was found on Meadowbrook Road around 1:30 in the a.m., but it's still unclear exactly what happened. He is expected to be okay. And keep this in mind, this shooting is not connected to the one on West Raleigh Boulevard. Tomorrow, a man arrested after a deadly crash in Holly Springs is expected to face a judge. 29-year-old Elton Mendoza Cervante of Fuquay Varina faces felony death by vehicle and DWI charges. Video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker showed a car overturned near Piney Grove Wilbon Road and Rouse Road in the morning. Troopers say a black SUV crossed into the wrong lane and right into the silver car, killing the driver. Troopers identified him as 65-year-old Richard Williams of Holly Springs. We're working to learn the cause of a fire on Jones Franklin Road. WRL arrived on the scene to find firefighters at the house and a large EMS presence. We have contacted officials to get more information on exactly what happened here. We will update you once we have more information. The Biden administration has announced another $2 billion in long-term military support for Ukraine. This comes as the country marks a somber one-year anniversary since Russia's invasion. WRL's Laura Levine spoke with a family who escaped the war zone and found a new home right here in Raleigh.
These are the days we will always remember. The phrase etched on this picture frame stands true for Tatiana Izbash and Dennis Spack.
It's definitely changed our life. We moved to the different countries. We feel a lot of scared for our parents, for us, for other Ukrainians.
The mother and son landed at RDU last year after saying goodbye to life as they knew it, leaving their home and family in Odessa, Ukraine. Dennis, who speaks better English than his mom, translates her emotions.
It's scary. Every day you think, do they have power, do they have energy, how they feel?
Patty Conforti and her husband John sponsored them after joining the Uniting for Ukraine program.
They're just part of the family now. We had our challenges, culturally, language, all of that, but we all work together.
They've been able to adjust to a new life, but their future in Ukraine is uncertain.
United States, it was my child dream, but dreams come true, but in this bad time, it's sad. But I'm happy that we met a lot of good people. All American people are very good to us.
When alerts go off of an attack, they stay connected to family back home by checking the local news, streaming on YouTube, which can be an emotional roller coaster.
I'm very, very sensitive to the events, and I follow it very closely.
As the war against Ukraine enters its second year, they want to inspire others to become a host, a sponsor, or support any way they can.
Put yourself in their place. What if it was your family?
Don't forget that this is not normal war in 21st century. This is fight for our freedom and safety.
Laura Levine, WREL News, Raleigh.
Wow, Patty and John, you guys are leading the way. Now, the Ukrainian Association of North Carolina has many resources available for anyone interested in helping Ukrainians. We have details with this story on WRL.com right now. Vice President Kamala Harris will travel to Columbia, South Carolina tomorrow to highlight progress on the administration's efforts to expand affordable high-speed internet access. The vice president will be joined by U.S. Representative Jim Clyburn, who has been a longtime advocate for affordable internet access for all. It's a big week for anyone with student loans. The Supreme Court will start hearing arguments in the case involving President Biden's student loan forgiveness program. When we could expect a decision? Plus, dozens of paralyzed veterans come to Raleigh to compete. We have a look at this weekend's wheelchair rugby tournament.
URAL News, coverage you can count on.
You may run into some fog in parts of the viewing area this morning. We'll talk about who has the best chance of seeing fog and when rain arrives later today. A decision will be made today regarding funding for an anti-violence group in Durham. Coming up, we explain what's led to commissioners questioning giving the group money.
Plus, preparations for a major road project will get underway this morning. We'll explain where you can expect to see those road closures throughout the week. Well, that is an ongoing cycle, is it not? Roads yes. Under construction. Mm. Welcome to your Monday morning. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. It takes a while for that progress,
does,
right?
Yes.
But moving through some of the commutes this morning, you're probably going to run into some fog in Raleigh and the Triangle area. There's already some. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. But the dense fog advisory is to the west of us. Definitely. This morning when I came through downtown, there was some fog out there. So you're going to run into it in places. But it's more likely for parts of Chatham County, Lee County, Moore, and Hope County. Still, I think you'll end up seeing it in other parts of the viewing area this morning as well. So just plan for that. The dense fog advisory is in effect until 9 o'clock this morning. Everything looks just fine in Chapel Hill right now, but again, we're seeing some fog in other places. We're definitely seeing cloudy skies out there as well. And there could be an isolated shower that pops up in a few places this morning. You can see Futurecast wanting to show a little sprinkle rolling in this morning, but there's a much better chance for rain later today. At lunchtime, we're looking fairly dry. As we move into the evening is when we'll see a better chance of showers. A few isolated sprinkles here and there during the evening commute, and then as we get closer to 9 or 10 o'clock, we'll see a little wave of rain coming through. To chilly 39 in Roxborough right now, 52 in Southern Pines. We have a very wide range in our temperatures, looking at mid to upper 40s right now across most of the central portion of the viewing area. 48 degrees as our temperatures are stepping outside right now. We'll climb up into the low 60s at lunchtime, and it will be a nice mild afternoon, mostly cloudy, but temperatures in the upper 60s. And as you heard Elizabeth mentioned, you may see some fog as you head out to work this morning. WRAL's Michael Grace is in the WRAL Storm Tracker in Raleigh. Michael, where are you and how's it looking?
Yeah, morning, Renee. We're on 70. We're about to get into Garner, and there are definitely some heavy patches of dense fog here and there. Right now we're in an area where it's a little bit lighter, so this morning you're just going to want to give yourself maybe a few extra minutes as you're making your morning commute. One thing I would also recommend, give yourself that extra minutes to defrost those windshields and roll down the side windows. Make sure that all that fogginess on your actual windows is out of the way. You don't want to pair that with any of those dense patches of heavy fog. So we're going to keep an eye on it and try to find the areas where it is really dense, and we'll keep you updated on where we see it.
Michael Grace in the Breaking News Tracker. Thank you, Michael. Today, future funding for an anti-violence group that has received criticism from the community is up for debate. WRAL's Laura Levina is live in Durham, where county commissioners are considering whether to continue to support Bull City United. Laura?
Over the past year, Jeff, we have seen Bull City United really expand in these locations here, popping up all across the city. Right now, we are on Fayetteville Street. But today, county commissioners will decide whether or not to continue funding the organization, the Violence Interrupter Program. Since the program launched in 2016, its budget has received around a five-fold increase between city and county funds. BCU is a community-based gun violence intervention program that aims to stop the cycle of shootings and retaliation through street outreach. The group includes former gang members. City Council recently approved $1 million for the program to expand to four key areas of Durham and to hire more staff. While the county today will look at continuing its portion of funding, which is more than $935,000. A report shows last year the group conducted more than 2,000 conflict mediations, but has received a lot of criticism from the community after one member received drug charges last year and another was killed from a targeted shooting.
We really don't know what they're doing to help solve this issue with this crime. And I mean, now when one was murdered, one was caught with a gun, one got caught with drugs, but you still want us to let our children, let them work for our kids?
So today, county commissioners will have that very important conversation at that meeting beginning at 6 p.m. Laura Levine, WRL News, live in Durham.
For the second time over the weekend, there was a heavy police presence Sunday at Raleigh's Crabtree Valley Mall. A number of police cruisers were there with their lights flashing in and around one of the parking decks. We asked police about it. So far, they've only said officers responded to a disturbance at the mall. No one was hurt. Meanwhile, we're still asking questions about the incident Saturday at the mall when a man accidentally shot himself. Police say a man carrying a concealed weapon accidentally shot himself. He was rushed to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The noise sent people in a panic. People ran for cover, including a mother of three who was trampled.
So I was terrified because I was just thinking of, I didn't know where to run because I'm like, if I run out, I'm leaving my baby and my mom behind, and my daughters were in the store next door.
As to whether charges will be filed in the case, Wake County DA Lauren Freeman says that will largely depend on whether the man had a permit. She says he may have to forfeit the firearm and pay fines. More construction at a busy intersection in Raleigh could affect your commute this week. Starting today, work will begin at the intersection of Blue Ridge and Hillsborough Street to prepare for an upcoming closure. Drivers should be expecting day and nighttime lane closures throughout the week. This Saturday, crews will close Hillsborough Street for several months. Once construction is finished, Blue Ridge Road will pass underneath Hillsborough Street. Hazardous waste from the Ohio train derailment is due to arrive at EPA facilities later today. Norfolk Southern is helping to clean the waste from the site of the derailment in East Palestine more than 3 weeks after the crash. The EPA says federal, state, and local agencies are all closely monitoring the cleanup to make sure the waste is safely removed. More than 100,000 gallons of liquid waste and 5 truckloads of soil need to be removed. The stars of Everything Everywhere All at Once made history at the SAG Awards. Michelle Yeoh and Ki-Hui Kwan became the first Asian woman and man to win the SAG Awards for outstanding performance by a female actor in a leading role and by a male actor in a supporting role. Everywhere All at Once also won for an outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture. Jamie Lee Curtis also took home an award for her part in the movie, winning outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role.
Beginning today, the Durham Fire Department Training Division will begin its burn week for new recruits. This will be the first trainees' first experience with putting out live controlled fires. It is also some of the final training they'll get before graduation in April. The Academy will be putting out car fires and propane tank fires. The training will take place in the afternoon, beginning today on the department's training grounds on East Club Boulevard in Durham.
Rocky Mount Police responded to a shooting at the Shell Food Mart on West Raleigh Boulevard. Investigators tell us 2 people were shot. A man died at the scene. A woman went to the hospital with non-serious injuries and has since been released. Police did not share any suspect information.
Also in Rocky Mount, Renee, an 11-year-old is expected to be okay after being injured in a shooting there. The boy was found on Meadowbrook Road around 1:30 Sunday morning. It is still unclear exactly what happened there. Vice President Kamala Harris will travel to Columbia, South Carolina today to highlight progress on the administration's efforts to expand affordable high-speed internet access. Vice President will be joined by U.S. Representative Jim Clyburn, who has been a longtime advocate for affordable internet access for all.
North Carolina State Senate could vote to legalize medical marijuana as soon as this week. The bill passed the Senate last year with broad bipartisan support. However, GOP leaders in the House never allowed it to come up for a vote. The bill's Senate Republican sponsor, Bill Rabin, believes this year will be different. The list of 20 or so medical ailments that doctors could potentially prescribe marijuana for remains the same. It would be allowed for cancer and PTSD, but not chronic pain or glaucoma.
A new bill proposed in South Carolina is taking aim at people wanting to move into that state. Coming up, why some lawmakers want to require out-of-state movers to pay hundreds of dollars to become residents.
And a judge in Texas could make a decision this week to ban an abortion pill. The nationwide fallout and the legal actions that could follow.
Foggy start in some spots this morning. It's going to be a nice day. Otherwise, there is a dense fog advisory. Take a live look at Lewisburg right now. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner breaking down how our week will look next.
From the WRAL Severe Weather Center, North Carolina's most experienced team of meteorologists.
It is 4:42, and we are seeing some patchy fog across the area. Take a live look at downtown Apex, and you can see some of that. Visibility is down really low right in the triangle, especially right at the airport. Visibility is down to not quite zero, but it's unusual to see it quite that low. Visibility 3 miles in Southern Pines. It's 7 in Clinton, 8 in Goldsboro, and half a mile in Rocky Mount. So it'll vary widely depending on where you are. But we do have the dense fog advisory in effect in our southwest counties. So expect some patchy dense fog out there. Temperature around 50. We're seeing a wide range in our temperatures also across the area right now. But if you're headed out the door for some exercise, while it's still dark, make sure you've got something reflective or flashing on. We'll be 62 at lunchtime and a pleasant afternoon with temperatures in the upper 60s.
Good morning, Ken Smith here in the WREL Live Center as we deal with a dense fog advisory around here. Take a look at what some residents in parts of New Mexico are waking up to this morning. This dust storm rolling across the state with heavy winds causing widespread power outages. You can see the traffic camera there moving in the wind. It actually first started out as a snow squall in the western part of that state. And of course, it's moving west to east right now. High wind advisory remains in effect until later on this morning.
Ken, thank you. The National Transportation Safety Board is looking into what caused a medical plane to crash in Nevada. The flight went down about 45 miles south of Reno on Friday night. All five people on board, including a patient and a member of their family, were killed. Officials say evidence shows the plane broke apart during the flight. The crash happened while a winter storm warning was in place for parts of Nevada. Wind gusts of up to 65 miles per hour were expected, in addition to heavy snow.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is headed to Asia for another multi-country trip. Blinken left yesterday for Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. The goal is to reaffirm the U.S. commitment to the Central Asian region. Blinken will then travel to New Delhi, India, for the G20 foreign ministers meeting.
There are new concerns this morning that China is considering supplying Russia with weapons and ammunition to help its invasion of Ukraine as the fighting intensifies there. Russian President Vladimir Putin told Russian state TV that the West has one goal, to disband the former Soviet Union and its fundamental part, the Russian Federation. Three intelligence officials say China is considering sending artillery and ammunition to Russia. China denies those claims. President Zelensky vowed yesterday to liberate Russian-occupied Crimea and return the Ukrainian flag to every corner of Ukraine.
Some areas in California have several feet of snow right now following a winter storm system that hit the state. Plow crews are working 12 to 14-hour shifts to get the roads back open. A new storm has since moved into the northwest, bringing blizzard conditions to the Sierra Nevadas with an additional 2 to 6 feet of snow by tomorrow. In Reno, officials issued a new blizzard warning they say could be life-threatening.
A new bill in the South Carolina legislature would force people to pay a fee to move into the state. The bill is nicknamed the Yankee Tax. It would require people moving to South Carolina to pay up to $500 in fees. The state senator who proposed it says the bill is not meant to keep people out, rather to help pay for new infrastructure projects that are needed because of all the people moving in. According to the U.S. Census, almost 500,000 people moved into South Carolina in the past 10 years.
Abortion rights activists are waiting on what could be the most consequential ruling on abortion access since Roe versus Wade was overturned. A judge in Texas could decide to pull a popular abortion pill off the market nationwide. The pill has been long approved by the FDA. It's currently the most used form of abortion care in the U.S. The judge could hand down his ruling any day now, setting off a national chain reaction.
It's not access at all. Claiming that those medications aren't safe just is so false.
If this judge rules to limit use of the abortion pill, the Biden administration is likely to appeal, and this could even end up at the Supreme Court.
People will soon be able to self-test for both flu and COVID-19 at one time without leaving their homes. The FDA approved the first over-the-counter home test that can detect both illnesses. You'll get the results 30 minutes after taking it. And you don't need a doctor's prescription to get the test. Adults will also be able to take samples from kids 2 years old and older.
Bus stuck? Hey, nothing to it for a few lacrosse girls. They can fix this. The Elon women's lacrosse team got stuck on the side of the road. Their bus in that mud right there. Look at them go. They were on the way to an away game, and They did what great teams do. They just worked together, used their collective strength, pushed that big bus back on the road, and they were able to make it to their game on time. That is fantastic work right there. Anything to get to the game, right? Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center right now. Better take it slow if you're trying to get somewhere in a hurry today, right?
Yeah, we have fog across parts of the viewing area. And boy, we look at the cameras and it looks different in different spots. But definitely the camera here at RDU looks the worst of all the ones that I can find on our camera network. Somewhere over here is Terminal 2. You can't even see it. Visibility officially at the airport is down at less than a tenth of a mile right now. It's a cool 48 degrees out there. And we'll see temperatures climbing into the 50s by 8 or 9 o'clock this morning. And we'll be in the 60s for highs this afternoon. Good bit of cloud cover today. Again, starting off out the door, Siler City's at a quarter mile visibility. Lewisburg at 1 mile. Rocky Mount, you can see that just updated to a quarter mile. So Rocky Mount and Wilson looking at some lower visibility. Typically, as we get closer to sunrise, which is in the 7 o'clock hour at this point, we tend to see visibility dropping even more. So it's something we'll keep our eye on. Rayford's at under a mile right now. Irwin's at 7 miles. Goldsboro at 3 miles. So again, a very wide-ranging conditions out there. We have a front that's going to start to ease in our direction, keeping a lot of cloud cover and sending a few showers our way. We take a look at Futurecast for this morning. Could be a sprinkle or two. You can see that little light rain that zips by between, say, 6 and 9 o'clock. And then we're dry at lunchtime, but then after lunchtime, especially closer to the evening commute, we start to see a few more showers that roll in, and we'll see a round of some isolated showers overnight tonight. None of this is going to be very heavy. Take a look at this range in our temperatures. 37 in Roxborough right now, but 53 in Fayetteville. Around the triangle, temperatures are mostly in the mid to upper 40s. We'll climb into the 60s this afternoon, right around 60 in the north, and at almost 70 down around Fayetteville and Clinton this afternoon, mid-60s in the triangle. More warmth coming our way. We're going to see temperatures climbing into the 70s for several days this work week, but behind it is some colder air for the weekend. This is the third week in a row that that has been our pattern. Today, 65 is nowhere near the record, but for tomorrow, 77, not too far from that 81. And it's Wednesday that we'll have the best chance of breaking the record, the forecast 76 and the record 78 degrees. So far, we've had 10 days at 70 or hotter. We'll probably see one more. The record is 13. So we'll be maybe a couple of days off of that record. And boy, you know, we've seen so many records fall this month already. 77 tomorrow, 76 Wednesday. Both of those days definitely feeling like spring. On Thursday and Friday, we have some showers and Friday, even some thunderstorms possible. After Friday's front, it'll feel different for the weekend. And coming up, we're going to talk about a big change in our pattern that could happen the middle of the month.
Elizabeth, thanks. A tricky run-in with wildlife for a police officer in Florida. How he managed to safely remove a 7-foot alligator from a neighborhood. New body camera and aerial video show how a police officer in Miami managed to wrangle a 7-foot alligator from a neighborhood. Check this out. The officer lassoed a rope around the gator's front legs, tied it to his police cruiser, and kept it mostly in place until wildlife officers could get there. Together, the officers put the gator into the back of a pickup, and a professional trapper relocated it away from populated areas. The police officer said he didn't want a child or someone walking their dog to be harmed by the gator.
Someone bought a $2 million winning ticket in North Carolina, and it was in Wadesboro. A winning $3 ticket at a local Speedway gas station was sold. Nobody won the big $120 million jackpot, so it now sits at $131 million ahead of tonight's drawing.
The third Ant-Man movie saw its box office numbers shrink this past weekend, while Cocaine Bear beat expectations. Rick Damigella has the top five countdown.
Listen, Doctor, thanks for everything, you know, but I am feeling great.
Puss in Boots: The Last Wish dropped from fourth to fifth place on ticket sales of $4.1 million, while Avatar: The Way of Water sank from second place down to fourth with $4.7 million.
So, tell me about yourself, Lonnie, and your people.
Jesus Revolution debuted in third place with $15.5 million, far outpacing the $6 to $7 million opening, which box office pundits predicted.
Beth, we should go.
Cocaine Bear also exceeded expectations in its debut, clawing up $23.1 million, after industry watchers for The Hollywood Reporter estimated only a $15 to $17 million opening.
Hello.
Girl.
Hi. Hi. Did you drink the ooze?
Why can I understand you?
Oh, great, that's the ooze. Hey, everybody, it worked!
Despite having a 70% drop from its opening weekend, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania held on to first place with $32.2 million. Multiple movie industry watchers from Forbes to The Wrap are calling it the biggest second weekend decline for a Marvel movie. In Hollywood, I'm Rick Damigella.
Black History Month celebration continues in Raleigh. Sunday, the Proud Black Band hosted an art exhibit and sale in honor of Black History Month. It happened at the White Space on Glen Royal Road. The exhibit highlights the importance of black culture, showcasing music, literature, science, and more. It also seeks to encourage the continued creation of new arts and honor Black History Month. Today, our Hidden History series takes us to remnants of one of the state's largest plantations, including dwellings where enslaved families lived. We will learn their names and stories and hear from a woman whose ancestors were enslaved in Raleigh.
It is 4:56. Here's a live look at North Hills in Raleigh this morning. It is a foggy start to our Monday morning. We will check in with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in just a few minutes to see how the rest of our day will shape up.
Also, a decision will be made today regarding funding for an anti-violence group in Durham. Coming up, we explain what's led to commissioners questioning giving that group money.
Plus, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in South Carolina today. We break down what she'll be talking about with members of the Columbia community.